Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, as we usually do, we look ahead to the readings for this Sunday, which will be the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And as I've said to you many times, there's nothing really ordinary. It simply means that it's not the season of the great feasts. But nothing's really ordinary when it comes to God. Nothing. So as you listen to these readings today, our God is a God who is infinite, He's sovereign, He's over all, and He desires to work through all. He desires to love us all. He desires to bring us home to Him. That's what He desires. Why do we balk? Why do we push against Him? Why do we resist? Because of our sin, because of original sin. We just don't like somebody else telling us what to do, and that we don't have the full authority and the full control. So what people most commonly do is just distance themselves from God so that they think then they can have their own autonomy and their own authority, and nobody's going to tell them what to do. They will decide what they do. It's a recipe for disaster, and it happens again and again and again. And one of the things I pray for you who listen to this radio program, is that you see clearly enough, even if it's through clenched teeth at first, you see clearly enough to say, Lord, You created me. You are a God of love. And Your will, Your desire for me has only my greatest good in mind. You can't say that about anybody else. No one else is infallible. But God loves you. He is the one person you can trust more than anyone else. Put your trust in Him and you will not be disappointed. That doesn't mean that everything's going to be sweetness and light. It doesn't mean that you aren't going to have crosses or challenges and difficulties in life. As long as we're here on this earth, we're going to have to deal with them. But when we give ourselves to God and we follow God, He protects, He defends, He shows what is good in the situation. He supplies us with what we need to follow Him so that we come through whatever the difficulty is closer to Him, more in love with Him, more open to His presence in our lives. Let's take a look at the readings for today. The first is taken from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 12, verse 13, and then verses 16 to 19. There is no God beside you who have the care of all, that you need show you have not unjustly condemned. For your might is the source of justice. Your mastery over all things makes you lenient to all. For you show your might when the perfection of your power is disbelieved, and in those who know you, you rebuke temerity, weakness. But though you are master of might, you judge with clemency, and with much lenience you govern us. For power, whenever you will, attends you. And you taught your people by these deeds that those who are just must be kind. And you gave your children good ground for hope that you would permit repentance for their sins. God loves us. And so He tells us if we bring our sins to Him, if we bring our problems to Him, if we bring our failures to Him and are honest about them, He forgives. He doesn't carry grudges. That's not God. He forgives. We need to acknowledge our sin and our weakness. But God never condemns if we come to Him and if we tell Him we're sorry, even if it's five times a day. God never tires of that, that one of His children keeps coming back and saying, I'm sorry. When you think of your children when they were small, but translate this into adulthood, but you think of your children when they would come over to you and say, sorry, what's that do to a mother and father's heart? Melts them. And I'm not saying to you to mimic a child, but there's a childlikeness in us when we're willing to say, I did it. It's my fault. I'm sorry. It's such a beautiful relationship with God. And so many people don't want to face their sin that they can't admit it when it's right in front of them. And I want to urge you, don't be afraid to admit your sin, because it will set you free. It will work differently than you ever expected it to. The responsorial psalm, Lord, you are good and forgiving. Pray that psalm out loud. Say, Lord, help me to believe this, that you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in kindness and fidelity. That's who our God is. That's who he is. So run to him. In Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, brothers and sisters, the Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. It's hard for us to see the whole picture, isn't it? We do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes with inexpressible groanings. The Holy Spirit, if you're in a state of grace, the Holy Spirit worships and the Holy Spirit praises and the Holy Spirit petitions God on your behalf. Join him in that. The Spirit himself intercedes with inexpressible groanings, and the one who searches hearts knows what is the intention of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the holy ones according to God's will. You have an intercessor before the throne of God. Jesus is the intercessor before the throne of God on your behalf. He's forgiven you what you've done to him. The gates of heaven are being opened to you. Cry out to him. Bring your pain to him, our weakness, our sin, our fear. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Keep that in mind, so that when we attempt to disguise our failures or hide our failures in some way, and you just get burdened down with trying to cover up so many things, come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 to 43. Jesus proposed another parable to the crowds, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat and then went off. And when the crops grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from? He answered, an enemy has done this. His slaves said to him, do you want us to go and pull them up? And he replied, no. If you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. And then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn. Brothers and sisters, may we be the seed of the good seed, the seed of the wheat. Don't be one of the weeds. You choke and destroy yourself, and you choke and destroy those around you. Just repent. Just repent. Because Jesus tells us that at the end of the world, collect the weeds, tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn, gather the wheat into my kingdom, into my everlasting life. What are you doing with the seed that God has given you in baptism, reconciliation, first communion, confirmation, sacrament of the sick? What are you doing with the seed, the good seed that's been planted in your life? Are the weeds choking it? Take a look at it. Be honest with yourself. Take it to confession. Get rid of it. Weeds get pulled up in one fell swoop. That's the way to do it. And start over. He proposed another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It's the smallest of all the seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches. You might think you're little. You might think your faith isn't big, but you cultivate it. You work with it. And it, when full grown, if it's like a mustard seed, the tiniest of seeds seems so insignificant, and yet it is the largest of plants. God wants to make you into a large, beautiful plant that bears fruit. He spoke to them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened. So the kingdom of heaven, my desire for the kingdom of heaven, the graces that are within me are like yeast in a batch of dough, and they cause that dough, that heavy dough, they cause it to rise and to be delicious bread. That's your call. You think you're small, but you're so significant in the kingdom of God if you believe in him and if you cultivate the seed of his life in you. Scripture says here, all these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world. There's a whole other section for the gospel here that I have not time to cover today. I will cover it. But what I want to say to each of you, brothers and sisters, is if you're in the state of grace, in a certain way, you are good seed. Because it is the grace of God's life that is in you. And you want to cultivate that seed. You want to water it. You want to nourish it. You want to make sure that the soil stays good. If the soil needs help, going to the sacraments, reconciliation, communion, taking time in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, be before the Lord. Let the graces and the power that radiates from the Eucharist touch your life and make you good soil, that God may plant good seed, and that it may bear fruit 30 and 60 and 100-fold. This is one marvelous analogy, one marvelous parable. Take it to heart. Apply it to your life. If the soil of your heart is full of weeds, go to confession. Tell God you're sorry. Ask him to remove them, and by his mercy, he will. And then begin again. God bless you. For a free copy of my latest booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings, please call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.